Today is Thursday, December 9th. What to know about President Biden's latest plan to fight climate change and why he's already facing some pushback. Also, new research about COVID-19 booster shots and yet another tool for some Americans to avoid getting sick. Plus, a record-breaking gap between job openings and the workers available to fill them. Why the government is investigating certain video games and who made this year's list of the world's most powerful women. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The White House took another big step to deal with the climate crisis. President Biden signed a series of executive orders to make the federal government carbon neutral by 2050. It won't be easy, though. The president's goals would require massive investments from the federal government to, one, change how it gets electricity by 2030, think solar and wind power. Two, buy more than 500,000 electric vehicles by 2035. Three, upgrade hundreds of thousands of buildings by 2045. And eventually, by 2050, make sure all government contracts for goods and services are also carbon-free. To pay for it all, the White House says it will use money from the bipartisan $1 trillion infrastructure law, as well as the much more partisan social spending bill that has yet to pass Congress. The Biden administration says the spending will be worth it, since the federal government is the largest landowner, energy consumer, and employer in the country. Biden also says these changes will create good-paying jobs, grow industries, and make the U.S. more competitive on a global scale. But some Republicans say these executive orders will hurt the country's current energy industries, like coal, natural gas, and nuclear power, and that they would negatively impact the millions of Americans who work in those fields. We should note, since these are executive orders and not laws passed by Congress, they could easily be undone by future White Houses. To be continued. We're starting to get some information now about how the COVID-19 vaccines work against the new Omicron variant, at least from one vaccine maker. Pfizer says in early lab tests, their two-dose vaccine is not nearly as effective against Omicron as it is other variants. But once people get a third dose, Pfizer says the vaccine can fight Omicron just as well as two doses can fight the original version of COVID-19. Pfizer also mentioned people may need to keep getting boosters, kind of like flu shots, to keep up with the evolving virus. The vaccine maker thinks people will start getting a fourth shot sometime in the next year. Keep in mind, though, all these findings only come from Pfizer, who stands to profit from the vaccines. The lab tests have not been peer-reviewed just yet, and Pfizer says it's also still monitoring how the vaccines are working in real-world conditions out of the lab. Stay tuned. Just six states in the U.S. make up most of the new COVID-19 hospitalizations in the last couple of weeks. NBC News reports hospitals are especially filling up with COVID patients in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, New York, and Illinois. Those states make up 35% of the American population, but 60% of the recent hospitalizations. And many hospital systems are preparing for another surge later this winter as more people get together and move indoors where the virus can easily spread. But now there is another tool on the market, besides vaccines, to prevent the most serious cases. The FDA authorized the first injectable antibody cocktail that's meant to prevent COVID-19. Until now, antibodies have only been used as treatments after someone gets sick. The thing is, though, the FDA only authorized this new one for people whose immune systems are compromised in some way, like if they've had an organ transplant, a history of cancer, or certain autoimmune conditions. But it's not for young kids. It's only for those 12 and up. There are still 3 weeks left in 2021, but sadly, at least a dozen major American cities have already broken yearly records for homicide. One of them is Philadelphia. It's seen a 13% rise in killings from last year. And even though the population is smaller, Philadelphia has seen more homicides than either New York City or Los Angeles. Other cities that have hit records are Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, Tucson, Arizona, and Rochester, New York, just to name a few. So why is this happening now? Experts point to a few reasons, like a law enforcement shortage, fewer arrests, and continuing hardships from the pandemic. After-school programs and nonviolence programs also shut down because of COVID-19. And unfortunately, some of the cities are breaking records that were just set last year. New data shows job openings in the U.S. approached record levels in October, and there are not nearly enough workers to fill them. The Labor Department says there were 11 million job openings, and only about 7.4 million people unemployed. Or to put it another way, for every 3 job openings, there were only 2 people looking. That's the whitest ratio on record dating back 2 decades. As the Wall Street Journal reports, people who are unemployed or looking for better jobs have been using the gap to their advantage. Workers are quitting jobs or holding out for higher pay, more flexible working conditions, and better benefits. And Goldman Sachs says the worker shortages won't resolve quickly, especially since some of the people who left the workforce during the pandemic just decided to retire early and aren't coming back. And others have started their own businesses. Now the most openings are in the hospitality and food service industry. More news is just ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor. While we want to believe the holidays are a joyous time, that's not always the case. It can be a difficult season for many people, from just the stress of managing everything holiday-related to strained family relationships to missing loved ones no longer with us. Whether it feels big or small, there's no reason you need to deal with it alone. BetterHelp wants to help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. They have counselors who are specialized in stress, anxiety, grief, relationships, and much more. And if you're ever not happy with yours, just change counselors anytime until you find the right fit. You always connect in a private online environment. Whether you're texting, talking on the phone, or connecting on a video call, it's secure and confidential and helpful. It's even more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/newsworthy. A 50-foot Christmas tree with 10,000 ornaments and 100,000 lights that sits right outside the Fox News headquarters was set on fire. Police arrested a man they say climbed the tree just before the fire broke out early yesterday morning. He's now been charged with 7 counts, including arson. Police say they're investigating whether drugs or mental illness played a role. Thankfully, no one was hurt and the fire did not spread to any nearby buildings. Fox News Media says a replacement tree will be lit by this evening. The head of Instagram is calling for more regulation on the entire social media industry. Adam Mosseri testified in front of Congress for the first time, and he faced tough questions from lawmakers in both parties about the potential impact of Instagram on young people's mental health. Mosseri said the company is working hard to deal with any negative effects of the app, but he also cited research that showed more U.S. teens use TikTok and YouTube than Instagram. So he said it's time for industry-wide solutions, including what he called an industry body to help determine best practices for all social media companies to use. Separately, top cryptocurrency CEOs also testified before Congress. Lawmakers called the hearing to better understand what types of rules may be needed for the digital currencies, especially since more and more Americans say they're using cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Right now, there's not much oversight, and some lawmakers think that means it's vulnerable to things like fraud. Other critics have said it's volatile and risky to the entire financial system. But the industry executives argue cryptocurrency will make things better, that transactions are faster and cheaper, and that it's more accessible to people around the world. They called for clear standards and government support. To be continued. The top auto safety regulator in the U.S. is looking into an interesting new Tesla feature. It lets drivers play video games on a large touchscreen, and it works even while the cars are moving. The feature actually came out in a software update over the summer, but the NHTSA started reviewing it this week when the New York Times reported auto experts are worried that games could be a safety risk. Tesla has not responded yet to this latest investigation. At least one of the games does have a warning before it starts saying playing while the car is in motion is only for passengers, though there's not really a way to check. It's one of the most massive planets ever discovered. It's 10 times bigger than Jupiter, and it's orbiting a pair of stars so hot and massive that some astronomers did not think a planet could ever exist in that environment. In fact, the European Southern Observatory says it's the first planet ever found that's around a star more than 3 times as massive as the sun. The star system is also more than 3 times as hot as our sun. So this latest discovery apparently has some scientists rewriting what they thought they knew about planet formation. Who are the world's most powerful women? Forbes released its list for 2021, and big celebrities like Oprah, Rihanna, Beyoncé, and Taylor Swift all made the list. As for the very top spots on the list, coming in at number 3 is Christine Lagarde. She's the first woman to head the European Central Bank. Number 2 is Vice President Kamala Harris. Of course, she's the first woman, the first Black person, and the first South Asian American to become a U.S. VP. And the most powerful woman in the world this year, according to Forbes, is Mackenzie Scott. She's a philanthropist, author, and the ex-wife of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. She signed the Giving Pledge, meaning she promises to give away at least half of her wealth over the course of her lifetime. Well, that's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today we're talking about the digital divide, how so many of us are seemingly always connected to the World Wide Web, while others have never been online before. But first, a quick break for our sponsor. When was the last time you got on a bike and actually wanted to go up a steep hill? You can with e-bikes. It's probably why you keep hearing about them. People who use Rad Power Bikes say it's completely transformed everyday life. Here's the best part. Because Rad Power Bikes is North America's largest maker of e-bikes, they have models that can get you biking again, even if it's been a long time. If you're wanting to buy a gift for someone who wants to get out more or who just seems to have everything, then hit up radpowerbikes.com and check out their award-winning lineup of e-bikes. They're in stock and ready to ship. That's radpowerbikes.com. Now back to Thing to Know Thursday. It's official. The pandemic brought a lot more people around the world closer to their technology. A recent United Nations report says nearly 5 billion people now use the internet. That's up from 4.1 billion in 2019. Of course, that was probably because of lockdowns, remote work in school, and big increases in online shopping and banking. But all of that is still foreign to a lot of people around the world. The UN says 37% of the world's population has still never used the internet. Most of those people live in developing countries. Tech giants are trying to reach the unconnected people, though. For example, Google and Meta recently teamed up to build a massive new cable connecting Japan to countries in Southeast Asia. Meta also set up a mobile data program in Africa. And then there are companies like Amazon and SpaceX that focused on getting more people internet through satellites. So it seems getting the whole world online is now more of a question of when rather than if. Thank you so much for listening and for sharing the show today. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.